What does true devotion to God look like? It was February 3rd, 1943, on board the U.S. Army transport ship Dorchester. The Dorchester is one of three ships in a convoy moving across the Atlantic from Newfoundland to an American base in Greenland. It was a converted luxury liner. The Dorchester was crowded to capacity, carrying 902 soldiers, merchant seamen, and civilian workers. With only 150 miles from its destination, shortly after midnight, an officer on board the German submarine U-223 spotted it. After identifying and targeting the ship, he gave orders to fire. The hit was decisive, striking the ship far below the waterline. The initial blast killed scores of men and seriously wounded many more. Others, stunned by the explosion, were groping in the darkness. Panic and chaos quickly set in. Men were screaming, others crying, or frantically trying to get lifeboats off the ship. Through the pandemonium, four men spread out among the soldiers, calming the frightened, tending the wounded, and guiding the disoriented towards safety. They were four Army chaplains: Lieutenant George Fox, a Methodist; Lieutenant Alexander Good, a Jewish rabbi; Lieutenant John Washington, a Roman Catholic priest; and Lieutenant Clark Poling, a Dutch Reform minister. Quietly and quickly, the four chaplains worked to bring calm to the men. As soldiers began to find their way to the deck of the ship, many still only in their underwear were confronted by the cold winds blowing down from the Arctic. Petty Officer John J. Mahoney, reeling from the cold, headed back towards his cabin. "Where are you going?" a voice of calm in the sea of distress asked. "To get my gloves," Mahoney replied. "Here, take these," said Rabbi Good, as he handed a pair of gloves to the young officer. "I can't take your gloves," Mahoney replied. "Never mind," the rabbi said, "I have two pairs." It was only long after that Mr. Mahoney realized that the chaplain never intended to leave the ship. Once topside, the chaplains opened a storage locker and began distributing life jackets. It was then that engineer Grady Clark witnessed an astonishing sight. When there were no more life jackets in the storage room, the chaplain simultaneously removed theirs and gave them to four frightened men. When giving their life jackets, Rabbi Good did not call out for a Jew, Father Washington did not call out for a Catholic, nor did Fox or Poling call out for a Protestant. They simply gave their life jackets to the next man in line. One survivor would later call it was the finest thing I had seen or hoped to see this side of heaven. As the ship went down, survivors in nearby rafts could see the four chaplains, arms linked and braced against the slanting deck. The voices could also be heard offering prayers and singing hymns. Of the 902 men aboard the United States Army transport Dorchester, only 230 survived. Before boarding the Dorchester back in January, Chaplain Poling had asked his father to pray for him. "Not for my safe return, that wouldn't be fair. Just pray that I shall do my duty, never be a coward, and have the strength, courage, and understanding of men. Just pray that I shall be adequate." Although the Distinguished Service Cross and the Purple Heart were later awarded posthumously, Congress wished to confer the Medal of Honor but was blocked by the stringent requirements which required baptism be performed under fire. So a posthumous special medal for heroism, the Four Chaplains Medal, was authorized by Congress and awarded by the President on January 18, 1961. It was never given before, and it will never be given again. The devotion of these four chaplains is honored every year by military chapels and other memorial services throughout the country. It highlights the true nature of their devotion to God and the men they serve. It speaks loudly of Mark 12:29-31. The most important one answered Jesus is this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." The second is this: "Love your neighbor as yourself." There is no commandment greater than these. And also John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. The devotion to the Lord is a process of becoming all in for Jesus and his kingdom. Following Jesus is one of unwavering loyalty to him as the only true God, who is the creator and the sustainer of our very lives. Love and loyalty in Christ stirs up in our souls a desire to extend our hearts and hands in love, service to others, and to care for the souls of our neighbors, friends, and families. Caring for the souls of others is about praying for others, being there for others, living the grace of Jesus before others, and a willingness to go the extra mile so that those folks will experience the grace of God. Our scripture this morning speaks about that devotion that Mary had to Jesus and the reaction of Judas and Jesus to that devotion. Jesus is having dinner with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. It wasn't too long before that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. So Jesus having dinner with his friends was most probably an opportunity for celebration of life and heartfelt thanks to Jesus for the miracle he performed by raising from the dead their brother Lazarus, as we read in John chapter 11. Martha expressed for her family earlier in chapter 11 their belief in Jesus when she said in John 11:25-27, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." They knew they were in the presence of God. Jesus was their friend, but he was also their Lord. And it was an opportunity for Mary and Martha and Lazarus to express their devotion to him because he was the giver of life. Mary is the center of our story this morning. Through her, we see for ourselves how to understand and express from the start our own personal devotion to the Lord. First, true devotion to Jesus is indeed costly. It may even come to the point, and it is certainly for a lot of missionaries, they've given their very lives in the cause of Christ. But for some of us, it just might mean giving up that which we most treasure. Mary's devotion to Jesus was costly. Mary took a pint of expensive perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet hair. She gave the best of what she had to Jesus. Nard, as it says in the scripture, was very expensive and was used as a fragrance in the house, in your home, to express to your guests that they're important and that this is a place that we want to honor you. Mary had taken this pint of nard, this expensive perfume, and poured it on Jesus' feet and used her hair to wipe those feet. And as I think of that, I wonder myself, am I willing to do that for another person? That I would be willing to give what I have as the best, even to the point of washing their feet, if that was necessary. Mary had given to Jesus what was very costly. She gave the best to honor him. There's a story from the Reverend Mr. E. Stanley Jones of the Mardura Mission in India. And he tells a story of a leper who gave his best to the Lord. It was a time when the converts of the mission were bringing gifts for the erection of a new church building. Among them was a leper, clad only in a rag of loincloth, his body emaciated from a lack of food. He brought an offering of 1 1/2 cents. To him, it meant privation and hunger for a while, to lay that cent and a half upon the altar. But it lay there with the touch of sacrifice upon it. It was not just 1.5 cents in the eyes of Jesus or in the eyes of those of the who kept the treasury, but it spoke richly of generosity and liberality. He gave not only his best, but he gave his all. There's a story that speaks to this very clearly in Mark 12. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins with only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. That causes me to pause, take a moment to think, what does that mean in my life, in all of our lives? Giving what is costly is a symbol of our devotion and our commitment to Christ. Secondly, true devotion to Jesus will bring criticism. Just plan on it. As a follower of Jesus, people are going to react to that. As our story continues in John 12, as Mary was presenting this gift to Jesus, Judas objected. He stated that this perfume was expensive and that if sold, it could be given to the poor. It was a lot of money, equal to a year's wage. This is a waste in his eyes. But we know from this scripture that Judas's motive for saying this was not righteous. He was a treasurer for the group and was said to help himself to a few dollars here and there. But aside from his unrighteous motive, what about the fact that, yes, this is expensive and it could be sold and help many people? But Jesus answered that. The answer to that question is, yes, it could have, but the point is that Jesus said, I am with you now, and you have the opportunity here to be in the presence of God and to worship and to praise and to show me and to know that you are loved by me because I know that you love me in return. Jesus is first and foremost. It's in him that makes us who we are, and what we do flows from that devotion to the Lord. By laying claim to Jesus as Lord and Savior, directly honors and gives him the glory. And it is to acknowledge the fact first that life is in him and life only comes from him. But there are those outside the faith that will criticize us for such faith. We as followers of Jesus will be thought as uninformed, uneducated, not in step with society, and a lot of other things that I could say because of our faith in Jesus. It will be harsh and it will hurt, but God says in 1 Peter 3, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But, and I always love, don't you love that word, but, when everybody says, but? Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. When criticized, pray for that person. When hurtful accusations come your way, return good for evil. When you feel hurt, remember that Jesus died for that person hurting you. On the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. But there's another type of criticism which I think is most hurtful, and that's the criticism between Christians, which harms our witness to unbelievers and harms our unity, which is indeed our greatest witness to the world. There is a story of a battle between the British and French forces when they were fighting in Canada in the 1750s. Admiral Phipps, commander of the British fleet, was told to anchor outside Quebec. He was given orders to British land forces to arrive, then support them when they attacked the city. Phipps's navy arrived early. As the admiral waited, he became annoyed by the statues of the saints that adorned the towers of a nearby cathedral. So he commanded his men to shoot at them with the ship's cannons. No one knows how many rounds were fired or how many statues were knocked out, but when the land forces arrived and the signal was given to attack, the admiral was of no help. He had used up all his ammunition shooting at the saints. Our unity as a church, as God's people, is our greatest witness to a fractured and divided world. And our true devotion is esteemed by Jesus. After Judas criticized Mary for her devotion, Jesus told Judas to leave her alone. She was saving this perfume for me. You always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. Mary chose to anoint Jesus, to worship Jesus while he was present with them. And in our case, as being post-resurrection folks, Jesus is ever present with us through the Holy Spirit, and we can worship him here as well as outside of this building. We can anoint Jesus with our prayers, our thoughts, and our adoration for him who he is. That is, he is God. And his gift of life he has given to us now, a quality that can't be understood by the world, and eternally as we will praise him forever. Jesus said in John 4:24, but the hour is coming and now is here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Erickson Tata had a terrible accident when she was young that left her a quadriplegic. In spite of her physical limitations, she became an accomplished author, and Christian artist. Over 25 years ago, she married her husband, Ken. For her wedding, she had planned to come down the center aisle in her motorized wheelchair. But just before her grand entrance, she noticed two distressing problems. First, she had rolled over her beautiful gown and made a big grease spot and tear in it. Then the flowers in her lap had slipped and had lodged between her leg and the chair. Being filled with disappointment as she was, but then suddenly she saw the doors to the auditorium open and she saw her husband-to-be. Here was the man who was committing his love and his life to her, Johnny later said. Once I saw Ken's face, all I can think of was him. Everything else, the people in the church, the flowers that were sitting a little askew on my lap, the fact that my dress didn't fall right because I was sitting in a wheelchair, the grease marks, the rip in my gown, all of it paled in comparison. What she saw was the man who loved her. When we see Christ, we see God who loves us and who gave himself for us. And in him, that's all that matters. As we see Christ through faith every day, we can worship him every day. God sees that as true devotion. And this morning, we'll celebrate the Lord's Last Supper. When we celebrate and remember and experience once again the fact that Jesus was so devoted to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. That's what we're going to remember in communion, that God gave his all for us and calls us in return to give our all for him through love. We'll now get ready to celebrate the Lord's Last Supper.